Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Yeah, good morning. As you're having a seat, my name is Trey Kelly. If you're a guest today, thank you so much for coming and checking us out. I'm the pastor here. And today is a fantastic day for you to be here. If it's your first Sunday, man, you picked a doozy. And I'm very, very excited that you're here. We're continuing our series today that we launched last week called Be the One. And if today's your first day and you missed last week for any reason, man, I would encourage you at some point this week, why don't you go to this website, go to wellspringchurch.tv/be the one and check it out, because last week our children's director, April Colquitt, launched this series for us, and she did an amazing job. And not only did she launch this series for us, I believe she kind of launched 2019 for us, because what she did is she sort of took something we all do at the beginning of 2019 and kind of turned it on its head. You do it, I do it, we all do it. Start of a new year, you start thinking about how things could be better. You start thinking about typically how I could be better, how we could be better, how me could be better. And so last week what she did is she sort of flipped that on its head and she challenged us. She said, hey, what if this year, what if in 2019, rather than focusing on ourselves and focusing on me, what if we asked this question? What if in 2019 we said, whose life will be better because I chose to be the one to help? Now, let's just admit it. Isn't that a better question? Even if you're here and you don't believe in God, isn't that a better, more worthwhile goal for 2019? As we look around the world and as we look at ourselves, doesn't it just naturally feel better to spend some time, to spend some energy, maybe the majority of it, not just on yourself, but on other people? And that's a universal feeling. Now, if you're here today and you would call yourself a Christian, if you would call Wellspring home and you say Jesus is your Lord, that's not really optional. Because sort of the heart of Jesus' message to us is, hey, you were in trouble, so I came to help you. And now that I've come and I've helped you, I want to move through you to help other people. And so what April really did last week was sort of launch this idea and invite us all to spend the week just kind of thinking about, okay, what would it look like if in 2019, rather than focusing on myself, I looked around and said, how can I be the one to help someone else? How can I be the one to make life better for other people? And it's a big, broad question, and it's why we're going to keep talking about it this week, and we're going to talk about it again next week, because you have to take that big, broad question, and you kind of have to break it down. You have to figure out, okay, what does that mean? How do we actually think about this? How do we do this? How do we even approach this idea of trying to be used to make someone else's life better this year? And so what I want to do today is I want to be as helpful and practical as I can. And so what I want to do today is I want to turn you to a different question. It's really the same thing, but it's said a different way. And it's actually a question that we asked as a church several years ago. Several years ago in January, we did a series somewhat like this. And we asked a question that I believe for those of you in the room today who are kind of wrestling with this, who are saying, yeah, I understand. It would be better this year if my life was more focused on other people and if I could help other people. But, man, I just have no idea where to start. I have no idea what to do. I wouldn't even know where to go. How do we begin this process? And, again, a couple years ago, we did a series that I think provided a question that's very, very helpful. So I want to share with you the question we did a couple years ago, and I'm going to explain about how I think it could be helpful for us today, even if today's your first day. As we look at 2019 and we say, okay, God, this year, rather than it just being about me, who else is going to be better because I chose to play a role in their life? And so if you don't know where to go or who to, or what to do or anything like that, I want to point you to this question that we looked at a couple years ago. And the question is very simple. What breaks your heart? Said another way, what bothers you? When you look around, when you watch the news, when you look at your kids' schools, when you look at this church, when you look at your neighborhood, when you look at our community, you know, what breaks your heart? What do you wish someone would fix? What do you wish someone would do about? What are you constantly talking to your friends about? What are you talking to your parents about? Now, for some of you, you have Facebook. I know exactly what bothers you. But what breaks your heart? When you look at certain areas of our community, when you look at certain problems, when you see a news story, you can't move past it. When something comes in your feed, you have to read it because there's just something inside of you that is bothered by this situation, that is bothered by what is happening, and you don't even know what to do about it, but man, you wish someone would fix it. You wish someone would step up and do something. Now see, what I would say is if you have that emotion, if you have that feeling, if you see those things in our community, you're in very, very, very good company. Because Jesus felt the very same way. In fact, if you know the story, the entire reason he came to earth to rescue us from the sabotaging, separating nature of sin is because he looked at our predicament and his heart was broken. And he was broken for us, and so he said, I'm going to go rescue them. I'm going to go do something about it. The story, if you were here last week, the story April told was about Jesus seeing a man who couldn't help himself, who had been in trouble for 38 years. No one would help him, and it broke Jesus' heart. And so then Jesus took a step and helped that person. This was a mark of his three-year ministry. He was constantly looking around. He was constantly seeing, okay, what's breaking my heart? Where do people need help? And he was moving towards those messes. He was moving toward those moments, and he was helping those people. So when you feel that way, when you look around and things bother you and you wish someone would help, you're an amazing company. And what I want us to do today is I want to learn from Jesus, because Jesus didn't let it stop with simply having his heart broken. He actually decided to do something about it. And the reason he did something about it is because Jesus understood why he came. He understood how people were wired. He understood how people thought. He understood how people felt. And he understood that his ultimate goal when he came to earth wasn't just to help us. It was to rescue us. It was to give us hope. And that hope was going to come through a relationship with him. And he knew the best way to establish his credibility, the best way to establish his validity, the best way to get people to believe in him and to trust him wasn't about saying something, it was about doing something. And the best thing he could do was actually help people. And so as he helped people, he earned the right to talk to people and he earned the right to change their lives. The reason I tell you that is because what's going to happen today is as we're sitting here, even right now, as I'm talking about what breaks your heart, some of you have some things in your mind and you know what breaks your heart. It's bothered you for a decade and you talk about it and then you stop talking about it and then you'll talk about it again and you always have all these reasons why you shouldn't do it. But even as I'm bringing it up right now, this thing is stirring inside of you. Yes, it really bothers me. It really breaks my heart. And my goal today, my encouragement today is to get you to take a step towards what it is that breaks your heart. And here's why. We have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decision to be the one to help. Because here's what we believe. Even if you're here today and you don't believe in God, we believe that God believes in you. And that God has created this church for you. And that God has orchestrated heaven and earth so you'd be sitting in this seat right now, you'd be watching online right now, so that you could hear this message. Because God wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He gave you gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities he didn't give other people. And he did it because he wants not only to rescue you, he wants to use you to make the world a better place. And so those things, those natural things that bother you, those natural issues you look at in life that you wish someone would do something about, it's very possible, if not probable, that the God of the universe has allowed those things to grow up inside of you and to bubble up inside of you because he has a plan to use you to do more than you can ask or imagine. We absolutely have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decision to step into what breaks our heart and to be the one to help. Now, to help you understand why I would say that, I want to quickly turn to a story from the life of Jesus. As I said, Jesus was always doing this. He was always looking for ways to help. Last week, we saw him heal a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. This week, we're going to see him heal someone else. This man had been blind since birth. And Jesus is walking along one day with his disciples, and he sees this blind man, and he leans down, and he says, hey, do you want to get better? And the blind man's like, sure, that would be great. And so Jesus does something a little different. Jesus actually makes some mud in the ground, rubs the mud on his eyes, and says, all right, go wash this mud off. And when he washes the mud off, he's healed. When he washes the mud off, he can see. And by this point, Jesus has kind of moved on. But the blind man starts telling everybody that he can see. I was blind. And look at this. Look at this. He goes and finds his family, his parents, and they're just overjoyed at the fact that he can see now. He goes and finds some of his friends, and they're just overjoyed at the fact that he can see now. And he's being so loud and so excited about this that the religious leaders of the day find out about it. The religious leaders of the day were some of the few people that didn't like Jesus. And here's why they didn't like Jesus. They weren't really religious. They were in religion for power and money. And Jesus was costing them both. And so they didn't like him for it. So they were constantly looking for ways to discredit him and to move him aside. And it just so happened that this had happened on the Sabbath, which was the Jewish day of rest. And they had created all these different rules for what you could and you couldn't do on the day of rest. And so they're interrogating this guy who's been healed. And like, well, tell us how he did it. And he says, well, he made some mud. And they go, he made mud? Say that again. He made mud? And the blind guy who was blind, now he's not, he's like, yeah? And they were like, we got him. Because they were going to accuse Jesus of working on the Sabbath because he had mixed up a little mud and put it on his eye. Yeah, you can laugh because these people were insane. But so they start talking to the blind man and they're like, oh, so he sinned. So a sinner did that to you. And they just start attacking Jesus again because there's a crowd gathering. They're trying to discredit Jesus. And again, this blind man who didn't know who Jesus was, who didn't know what was going on, his response to their interrogation is so powerful for us today, because it reveals the power of helping. Because helping clarifies. Helping cuts through where nothing else can land. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John. Chapter 9, starting in verse 25. We're going to pick up the story there because this man's been healed. His parents are excited. The religious leaders are upset about it. They're asking all these questions. They're accusing Jesus of being a sinner. And this guy gives a response I think is just so powerful and should be so encouraging to us today as we begin to think about who God might use us to help in 2019. Here's what he says. They go, is he a sinner? And his response, I don't know whether he is a sinner. I don't know. That's the truth. The blind man, he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know who he is. He's like, look, man, I don't know who he is. I don't know what you guys are fighting about. You obviously don't enjoy him. I don't know. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. And then he says this. He says, but I know this. I don't know that. I can't get into your arguments. I can't get into all that. I don't know anything about that. But I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. He's like, look, you guys can argue all you want about the ifs and the ands and the buts, and should he have made mud on a Saturday or should he not have made mud on a Saturday? Was it too much mud? Was it not enough mud? You guys fight about all you want. I don't care. Here's what I know. I was blind an hour ago, and now I'm not, and he's the one who helped. There is no limit to the power of making someone's life better. You can tell them all you want how much you want to make their life better. You can give them advice. You can give them encouragement. There is no replacement for stepping in and making it better. It just clarifies. Everything else goes away. This guy wasn't interested in the debate. He wasn't interested in this, that. All he knew was that he was blind an hour ago, and now he wasn't, and that guy was the reason it was true. And that was so powerful. Because a few verses later, Jesus circles back around. Jesus knows what's going on. He hears about it. So in verse 35, he waits till all this dies down, and he goes back and he finds this man. He finds the man that he's healed. And here's what he says. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The Son of Man was a title for Jesus. He was saying, do you believe in me? Do you believe that I am God? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, this guy doesn't know anything about anything. He doesn't know who the Son of Man is. So look at his response. He says back, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. Now again, I don't believe he had any idea who he wanted to believe in. I believe that the man who had given him sight said, do you want to believe something else? If Jesus had said, do you want to believe in a hippopotamus? The guy would have said, yep. Sign me up for Hippopotamus Church. Absolutely. Because I was blind and now I'm not and you're the reason. So whatever you say, I'm in. So the guy says, sir, I don't know who that is, but if you think I should believe in the Son of Man, I'm going to believe in the Son of Man. Here's Jesus' response. You've seen him, and he is speaking to you. He says, it's me. I'm here. And look at the man's response. The man responds, yes, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine if Jesus had just walked up to the blind man as he was sitting there being blind and asked him that question. Before he helped him, before he healed him, if he just walked up and said, hey, do you believe in the Son of Man? I believe the blind man's response would be, I believe in whoever puts money in my cup, dog. You give me some money, I'll believe in you. That question would have had no power. The question only had power because Jesus had already stepped into the moment and he had already helped. And when he helped, he earned the right to point that man to hope. And that hope was him. Hope of a better life in relationship with his heavenly Father. A better life being led by the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus knew that through this helping, he could solve the man's true problem, which was hope. And as he pointed him towards himself, he pointed him to a better life. And Wellspring, I am convinced that when we look around and we say, all right, what breaks our heart? And we begin to take a step towards those moments, step towards those messes, step towards helping in those areas, that as we do that, we earn the right to share the hope we have. And we earn the right to share the eternal perspective that we have. And the doors will be opened for God to change lives forever. So the reason we're challenging you to consider this year of being the one, the reason we're challenging you to search your hearts for what are the things that already bother you, is because we believe God's put those there. And we believe God wants to use you to do more than you could ever ask or imagine. Because we know that we have no idea what hangs in the balance of our decision to be the one to help. We have no idea. You have no idea. I have no idea. The only one who knows is God. And so again, as we said last week, this time with a little more clarity, I ask you this question. Whose life will be better? Because I chose to be the one to help. This year in 2019. It's an overwhelming question. It's a question that we're really not designed to answer alone. It's a question that we don't have to feel like we're the only ones who are moving in this direction. The series is called Be the One. It's not called Be the Only One. So we have two things we want to offer you today as you continue to wrestle with what this looks like. Number one, you probably noticed when you came in, we have our group sign up today. Groups are a great place for you to pursue being the one, for you to pursue what breaks your heart, to be surrounded by men and women who are pursuing the same things, who are asking the same questions, who want to go in the same way, who can support you when things are difficult, who can help steer you when things don't quite make sense. That's why we're signing up for groups today, because we think that is a next step in all of us pursuing our passion, all of us being the one to help. Who knows? You may sign up for a group, and that group might be the place that you're the one to help somebody else going through something that they're going through. But we also know that this is such a big picture question and big picture issue that a tangible illustration, a visual representation of what this looks like would be very, very helpful. So what we've done today is we have a story we want to share with you, a story of a family just like you, that was sitting in seats just like you, and who wrestled with this question just a few years ago. And they decided to be the one. They decided to take a step, having no idea what hung in the balance. So as you watch this story, ask God to begin opening your eyes. Ask God to begin showing you what breaks your heart. Ask God to begin showing you how you can take steps to be surrounded by people who can support you. And ask God to open your eyes to begin to imagine just what he might want to do through your decision this year to be the one to help. Check it out.
I'm Ronnie Parker.
I'm Julie Parker.
yeah, everything was kind of a storybook. In January of 2016 happened. I was scheduled to do what I normally do, my volunteer position at Wellspring. I was running Pro Presenter, which means I sit through three services. I hear Trey's messages three times. I've got his notes in front of me. So it gives me kind of a lot of opportunity to absorb what's being said. He was starting a series, kind of a typical, what I thought was going to be a typical New Year's type series about resolutions and that sort of thing. And just it didn't turn out anything like that. This one was kind of flipped on its head. The focus was not on self-improvement, but what you were going to do to improve people's lives around you. So the theme of that message was,
what breaks your heart?
When you answer that question, then what are you going to do about it? And so I was sitting there, you know, the first service, heard it, obviously heard it two more times, and I just couldn't shake the thought of, you know, kids growing up and not having a mom or a dad. And so I kind of wrestled with that over that 3 or 4 hours there at the service.
We had both heard the sermon, but Ronnie said, I think we need to become foster parents. And so when Ronnie says that to me, I'm thinking, well, that's easy for you to say. In fact, I think I did say, that's easy for you to say, because I'm the one that would stay home. And the previous year, I had been dealing with the beginning stages of breast cancer. So also I was thinking, you know, I just need to take care of myself as much as I can and not be stressed. So I was not very open to the idea of becoming a foster mom at that point, because I felt like I had enough on my plate. So since 2015, the need for foster families has grown tremendously because of the drug problem. So, I mean, I can't remember how many kids in Horry County alone, but they desperately need foster families.
I knew we were supposed to do it, but I just didn't know kind of how we were gonna do it.
Yeah.
That would have been maybe February. We maybe made our first call, and then we had the license in, was it August?
So yeah.
It took us that long, and so that was probably a good thing. It probably helped us process what we were, you know, getting ready to do and get involved with. So
we were licensed for maybe a day,
mm-hmm.
and we received a phone call from DSS about this little boy, and I kept thinking, this is not our kid. This is not him. And I called Ronnie, and Ronnie agreed. He's like, yeah, I agree with you. He's not the one we're supposed to have. So I called DSS back and I said, I'm sorry, but we're not gonna be able to take him. And literally 5 minutes later, I got a call from another lady at DSS, and she called us about Luke. And she said several things that were a little intimidating or scary to hear, but I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, this is your kid. And I called Ronnie, and he was like, you're right, this is our kid. So we were given him pretty much right away.
Yeah, it's surreal, you know, to meet a caseworker at a Walmart parking lot, you know, and there's a, you know, you pull up, a van pulls up, and out pops this kid with this little garbage bag with everything he's got. And you sign a couple papers, and he's in your car.
I know.
So it was really just, that moment was, I mean, almost even more than the birth kids, even their birth. I mean, it's something about that moment was just really unbelievable.
God kept showing me the verses over and over, be strong and courageous, from Joshua. I kept seeing it everywhere. And I knew that God was telling me to get over my fear. And so as soon as we saw Luke get out of the van, it just melted away, because we're like, look at this precious little child who is terrified because he has been through horrible experiences. And so then all we could think about was, how do we make him feel loved and comfortable and safe?
That thought of, okay, what breaks your heart? And out comes this kid out of this van. That's what was breaking my heart. And so God put that thought and that child and our passion all together and, you know, made it all happen.
It was our biggest desire to make him our son. The boys had been separated by DSS for different reasons. To be honest, I felt like my plate is full. I've got a lot going on. We're just going to focus on Luke. And one day when we were actually meeting with the adoption caseworker, even though I'd been around them, she showed us Brandon's picture. And I heard the Holy Spirit so clearly say, you need to go get him now. And so after the lady left our house, I told Ronnie what I heard the Holy Spirit say. She said, I heard it too.
Yeah. So that's how one became.
Yes.
Became two.
Yes. And so we immediately applied to become his foster parents so that we could adopt him. We knew that the three boys should be together. He came back from working out on Saturday morning, and I said, Ronnie, we need to adopt all three of them. And he was like, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I was like, I know that's what we're supposed to do. And just a little bit later, he came back. He was like, you're right.
Yeah.
And God was so good. And how we have Luke, and then Brandon, and then Hayden.
And that was, one of these, again, kind of surreal moments in your life where, you know, you're at the courthouse. We've got, obviously, all of us, all nine of us are there. Lots of friends from Wellspring that kind of helped us with the, through this journey. You just to stand there in front of the judge and to see that it's official, that it's done. Pretty amazing experience.
Yeah. It was a huge relief to know that they were ours. We had already had packed the car and we went straight to Virginia for to celebrate Christmas with the family up in Virginia. So it was a crazy day. I mean, Hayden had kicked off his shoes and his vest. I mean, he was just screaming and
yeah,
it was a mess.
And I got the receipt for 9 people at Chick-fil-A. You're like, we won't be eating out much, so.
kept ordering. And then we're like, wow, we have a big family. And a lot of people were just kind of staring at us, trying to figure out what was going on there. But yeah, that was one of our first moments. It was great. And we found out from our attorney that the courthouse workers said that our boy's case was the fastest they'd ever seen go through the court system, ever. And we knew that God was just being so good to us and ending all the process and just making us an official family quickly.
I was probably burned out in a lot of areas of my life, just from with business and a lot of extra commitments that I had made. And honestly, I kind of, I guess, said yes to God before I even knew how it was all gonna work out. And God's got a real interesting sense of humor. It's just almost simultaneous with the adoption, the finalization of the adoption. God just kind of led our business through some, opened some doors and just allowed me to take a kind of a big step back from a responsibility standpoint and, gave me the opportunity to spend more time with Julie and the kids and to be able to help her more. So I just think that was, for me, that was just a big moment in my life, in my journey, just to see, if God's calling you to do something, he's gonna make a way.
I had a day in January where I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, like, this is so much. This is a lot of work. This is a lot to do, a lot to keep up with. I think God thinks I can do more than I can do. It's not the best attitude. And it was a Sunday morning, and the Lord showed me that verse, John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I knew he was talking about the boys. Jesus didn't come just to save me and then for me to just have easy life. He came so that we can be the hands and feet to others. And I think about where our boys would be if they weren't with us. It's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is.
So I think that's been the biggest thing I've learned, is that life is not about us and our comfort and what's easy, but it's about what God has called us to do. And he's going to equip you to do it and give you the strength, but you have to choose that attitude to live for him and do what he wants you to do and to do it joyfully.
But everybody's called to something. And there's a phrase that during the whole process that I kept bouncing around, and it's, you can't change the world, but you can change somebody's world. My guess is that as people start opening their hearts and they start having a heart of service, be prepared, because God's going to give you more and more.
So, what breaks your heart? What is it? What's the idea that's been stirring in your heart the entire time we've been talking? What's the issue that you feel like is so beyond your grasp, so overwhelming, that you don't feel like you could even make a dent? What is that driving thing inside of you that, boy, you wish someone would do something about? Because maybe you're that person. Maybe God wants to use you. And maybe we have no idea what could possibly hang in the balance of our decision to be the one to help. I can assure you, when Ronnie and Julie began their journey, they had no idea it would end with 9 people in their family. Was not on the agenda. But it was on God's. Because, see, God's in the business of doing immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And like I said before the video, they were called to be the one. They weren't called to be the only one. Maybe you heard this little part of their story when he was talking about it at the courthouse. And he talked about his Wellspring family being there with him. He wasn't alone. The Parkers were never alone because they're invested here. They have circles. They have community. And this church surrounded them. And this church walked with them every single step of the way. And that's why we're here. That's why today is a day to sign up for Circle, so that you can take a step, so that you can have those people in your life, so that we can be a part of your life. So as you begin to take steps towards the things that breaks your heart, and as you feel overwhelmed, you have a support system to fall back on, and we can high-five you, and we can love you, and we can encourage you, and we can resource you to walk with you on this journey. So today we end like we did last week, hopefully with a little more clarity this time. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing another song. I hope you'll go join and sign up for a group. Our prayer team will be down front. They would love to pray with you if you're wrestling with any of these things. But as I pray and as we sing and as we leave, my prayer is that this question continues to roll over in your souls until you are clear on what the next step should be. Whose life this year, whose life will be better? Because you chose to be the one to help. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And we are so thankful that your Son chose to be the one. That he chose to be the one to step first and to rescue us. God, I pray today as we are encouraged and inspired by this amazing story that we will see the humanity in it, that we will see you in it, and that we will see that all we have to do is put ourselves in that same position to take a step, and you are ready and willing and able to do the rest. May we be encouraged and empowered to move today, move towards you, move towards the messes, move towards the places that are broken. And may you use us to help. Father, may we be the one in 2019 that makes someone else's life better. We love you. We thank you for your goodness. And it's all because of you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.